Welcome to an episode of WFAN Daily with your host, Pete Hoffman. And I'm being joined right now by a very special guest. I'm honored to speak with her, Alicia Witt, joining us to promote her Christmas album. I think I'm spending Christmas with you. Now, Alicia, thank you so much for the time. I'm stoked to speak to you because I have a lot to talk about. But let's first dive into this Christmas album. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm home in Nashville. I'm halfway through my Christmas tour, so I'm heading out on the road again first thing tomorrow morning and just enjoying a few blissful days at home in Nashville. It's so mild out today. I thought I would sit outside and do this interview with you.
Well, first of all, you're making me jealous because it's miserable. It's raining. It's about 40 degrees right now here in New York, so thank you for that.
Sorry.
So Christmas is one of my favorite holidays. Let's be serious. I love, and my memories are of me being back in my house with my parents, you know, setting up the Christmas lights and you know, decorating the house. And we'd always just constantly rock Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby, all those classic Christmas albums. Give me, like, what got you into Christmas as much as you are? I mean, you constantly are putting out albums, you're doing Hallmark movies. So give me your love and passion for Christmas.
I've always loved Christmas, but, you know, the first year I made a Christmas movie was 2013. And as fate would have it, I made three Christmas movies that year. Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas, A Snow Globe Christmas for Lifetime, and A Very Merry Mix-Up on Hallmark, which is still my favorite of all of them, and just a lovely, quirky, sweet film that plays every year at Christmas time on the Hallmark Channel. And then I wrote a Christmas song at the end of that year as a joke called I'm Not Ready for Christmas, because when it came time for the holidays and people were asking me what I was going to do for Christmas, I was like, I'm not ready for Christmas. I've spent the whole year in Christmas. So I wrote this, and then it ended up being used as the theme song to the next year's Christmas movie. And for a time, it's been 5 years now since I've made a Christmas movie, but there was a moment when I was making one every year. And so with that, a lot of my original music got used in those Christmas movies, and people started asking when I was going to put out a Christmas album. So this feels like it's been many years in the making.
Did you, Alicia Witt, joining us right now, did you ever think you'd have a full-blown Christmas album? I mean, you've written albums before. You've been an artist, musician for years. But did you ever really think you were going to have an album like this?
I have been dreaming about it for years, yes. But what I didn't anticipate was that I would produce it myself. That was a big surprise and not what I intended. I had reached out to a few folks to co-produce it with me and even had somebody lined up, and he ended up falling through with about a month left to record. And I just realized that all the signs were leading me to do it myself. And I had the right crew in place, the best Nashville musicians, like legendary career musicians who played this with me and made it sound classic the way I dreamed. We recorded it all live in the studio. And the best engineer, the best mixer, these incredible Grammy-winning artists who teamed up with me and made it possible, really. But the upshot of it was I loved producing. And as a first-time solo producer, I can't wait to do that again, maybe even for other artists.
Well, I mean, first of all, you're in Nashville. I mean, there's not really a better place to be for music. Am I right? Sure.
Yes.
So, you know, the fact that you've been in that area, you've been touring in the past, and you've created music. This genre, though, is this, what was the original, your original, like, favorites and artists that you really looked up to? I mean, to be able to perform with these, with these musicians, was that always your country style? Was that something that you always had?
I think there's a flavor, a little flavor of old school country on this, like Patsy Cline kind of thing, but it's not overtly country. There's these musicians have their roots in country. And of course, just being in Nashville, I personally love country music, but I don't consider that to be my genre. The artists you mentioned, Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, those are my favorites. And I wanted to bring that 1960s, early 60s vibe to this one in particular. Like Nancy Wilson, she has some Christmas favorites. And Rosemary Clooney, that kind of style. I also have some Billy Joel and Randy Newman influences on this one.
Well, that's Billy Joel, New York. I mean, let's go. You're up our alley over here. Now, you know, my favorite.
I want to interject.
Yeah.
That somebody in Chicago once described my style of music as Billy Joel with a insert. Unsayable word on the radio. And I think that's fair. I love that comparison.
That's awesome. I love that they made that reference. Do you remember the guy's name?
His name is Chase.
Chase. All right. I'll track him down. Now, let me ask you a question though, because you know, Christmas, you know, some of these are cover songs. Are they all cover songs? You have your originals too, right?
Yeah, 9 originals. It's mostly originals. I decided to cover 3 of my favorite classic Christmas songs: "O Holy Night," "The First Noel," with "Silent Night" as an instrumental motif juxtaposed with it, and "I'll Be Home for Christmas."
Which is your favorite of those 3? Like, which is about your favorite to perform and sing? Your voice is amazing, by the way. It's awesome. Personally speaking, "Oh Holy Night," that's my jam. But what is your favorite? What is your favorite?
I love singing "Oh Holy Night" live. I would say it's interesting. "Oh Holy Night," to get it just right on a live recording took more. Well, basically, I wanted, it's such a holy song, so I went back in and recut the vocals after I thought I was done on that one. Because as the producer, the buck stops with me, and I listened over and over, and I was like, it's okay, but I think I can beat it. So I went back in, and so the vocals you hear are the result of going back in a second time, because it was so important to me. And "I'll Be Home for Christmas" is the exact opposite, where most of the songs on the album, like most live recordings in studio, you do scratch vocals, and then you anticipate going in and cutting the vocals in a more detailed way in the sound booth. But "I'll Be Home for Christmas," and actually the last song on the record, "December 26th, both of those are the live vocals. It was just magic in the room with all the musicians, and I couldn't beat it. And so I thought, I'm just leaving it the way it is. So that what you hear was recorded at the piano with all the energy of the musicians playing live with me.
That's awesome. So I Alicia, I'm a huge music fan. I was in bands myself too. Nothing ever spectacular, but vocalist. So I know that experience. The most difficult thing, though, is the vocals, because I feel like that you can't be off. I feel like you can't be off for a second. Like, everything's got to be so perfect. Everything, you're overanalyzing everything. Do you feel pressure when you get into the studio and you have to record a live track?
No, I didn't think of it that way, because I knew that we were recording the piano and vocals in a very mindful way with the best engineer in the business, in my opinion, David Kalmuski, who I was lucky to have with me. But we had talked ahead of time about my desire to set it up in such a way that the piano would be isolated. So I'd be singing, but you'd be able to cut the vocal out of the piano track. And also, to make it extra clean, once we got a scratch vocal that we thought was good, I would stop singing. We'd play the scratch vocal back in our headphones, and I'd just keep on recording the piano with the band.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, it's, I've missed recording. How long of a process was this? Was this like a couple days, a week? Like, how long did it take for you to record all these songs?
The 3 days we spent in the studio with the whole band, that was enough to record all 12 tracks. Wow. And then I had 2 additional days at Sound Emporium with overdubs like horns and strings and a few other bells and whistles. And then we went to Addiction Sound, which is where David Kalmuskie is based. And that's his studio. And we did all the vocal, for the most part, all the vocal recordings over there, along with some additional things. All the guest vocalists came over to Addiction and recorded their vocals once we had edited together the rest of the track. And that was a joy. Just all of it was a dream. And each guest vocalist who came in, I was so honored that they would trust me as a first-time producer with their recognizable, gorgeous vocal. And it's starting to rain out here.
Oh, no.
In real time, I'm going back inside my house.
You were just saying how wonderful and beautiful it was outside.
I know, but now it's raining. So this makes for an exciting interview. My dog, Ernest, is not happy about being outside in the rain.
What's up, Ernest?
Yeah. So, but we can stay out here on the deck. I'll let Ernest out because the light is nice out here and we get to enjoy the outdoors without getting rained on.
I love it.
So here we
I
are.
Love it. Now, you weren't always Nashville. You grew up in Boston. You were I believe you said that your father was a New England Patriot fan. Are you yourself into the sports at all in any sort of way?
I was a Patriots fan to support my dad. I took him to the Super Bowl in, what was it, 2018 when they played the Eagles in Minneapolis. They didn't win, of course, but we were so happy for the Eagles because the Eagles had never won. And there were some lifelong Eagles fans there with us. So we had to be happy for them.
You had to be.
I don't know. I guess I would say I'm more of a Tennessee Titans fan now that I live here. And once Tom Brady left the Patriots, and my dad is no longer with us. So I don't really root for any team with great regularity now.
Well, I apologize for your father, my condolences, but I will say this much. I mean, to be able to share a moment like that is awesome. Did you watch the Super Bowls when they won like 1,000 Super Bowls?
Yes.
Did you get to watch those at least with them too?
Yes, I watched many Super Bowls with him. And whenever we weren't together, we'd be on the phone together cheering every step of the way. That was fun. Awesome. And it was fun as well because he had been a lifelong Patriots fan. And as you know, most of the time, it was pretty rough. My grandfather, my dad's dad, went to the one Super Bowl they made it to when they went to New Orleans, and it was abysmal. Even I remember that as a child. My grandfather was so excited and went all the way down to New Orleans and spent so much money and wasn't it the lowest scoring of any team? Didn't they get like 3 points?
They've had some stinkers for sure.
Yeah. Was it 86? Something like
that? Well, that was against the, who was that against? 86. Let's see. Let's 86, do
87. Because 88 was the infamous Red Sox and Mets game, right?
That was 86. That was Mets and the Red Sox. Yeah. See, we are New York, so I'm a Mets I have my wife and kids are Yankees. But Jets and Giants, who, by the way, are, you talk about stinkers. They, our teams suck right now. It's atrocious. Like, everyone's trying to fire coaches. We wish Bill, we were hoping Bill Belichick would have come coach the team. He was the coach of the Patriots for years. Yeah. I mean, bring back him, bring back Tom Brady. We're dying for it. I do have a bunch of questions because, Alicia, I got to be honest with you, huge horror movie fan. So the fact that you're like one of the original, they call final girls now, in Urban Legend. And recently, though, you started a film, Long Legs, which I could not get enough of. When I went to Germany with the Giants, I watched that movie on the way to Germany and then on the way back, because to me, it's a modern day Silence of the Lambs. I think it's that incredible. Tell me how it was being on set and just getting that script.
I loved the script passionately when I first read it. And, you know, there's never any way to know when you read a script, no matter how great it is, no matter how much you love it, you never know if it's going to be a big hit or any of that stuff. That is up to the audience. That's up to whether you end up finding great distribution like we did with Neon. But we made this as a $10 million super independent film. And that's what I signed on to be a part of. So all I knew was that Nick Cage was involved. I knew Osgood Perkins, whose movies I saw and was blown away by. But more than anything, I loved the character of Ruth. She is so complex. And really, she's three roles in one. Not to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but it's one of the greatest roles I've ever had the chance to play. And I wanted to be her so badly when I read the script. And working with Oz and working with Nick were both a dream experience. Could not have been any better. It felt like we were making something very special. We had so many divine occurrences on the set, kind of showing us that, weirdly, for making a movie about the darkest things among us and the man downstairs, as they say, it felt like we had divine energy around us. So many little miracles, so many little eerie things that would happen. And I found it to be such a personally cathartic experience that I still haven't seen the movie and I don't plan to.
What?
Yeah.
Why don't, Alicia, I got to tell you something. Like, it is so, and again, it's amazing because I'm going to say something with a horror movie here, but it was beautifully done. Like, it's exceptional. Everything, the visuals, the sound quality, like there's an element about this movie that really just sticks out. Like, everything, you're just so drawn into it. Like, I couldn't stop watching it. I'm obsessed with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, like, and you don't want to watch it?
Yeah, I don't want to watch my performance specifically. Felt very deep and very cathartic, like something ancient and ancestral came out through me that I hardly had any control over. It was like another entity was coming out through me. And I loved that experience, and it was profound, and I don't want to see what it looked like from the outside. Just the little clips I've seen online, I can see that entity in there, and I'm delighted, but I also don't want to watch it. I remember the experience of having it come out through me. So
Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to go watch it for you again tonight. Now, okay. But is that a normal thing for you? Like, I mean, you've done so many other films. I mean, you perform all the time. I'm sure you go back and listen to your own music, right?
Oh, yeah. My own music, yes. I think most actors would say it's not their, or a lot of actors anyway, would say it's not their favorite thing to sit and watch themselves. I'd rather not. But of course, if I'm producing something or if I'm creating something, I happy to see it. It's not, I don't feel any particular way, but this movie in particular just feels sacred. It's too cathartic and personal. So I don't, that's created for you all to see and not for me.
Well, I appreciate that person speaking, because I'm going to take it, I'm going to make that personal, because this is such a great film. Again, I put it on the top of my list for 2024. I'm obsessed with it, and it's truly incredible.
Thank you. Well,
no, thank you. Alicia, I appreciate the time. And again, I want to, before we let you go again, I Think I'm Spending Christmas With You. That's out right now. You're going on tour. How's the tour been going? It's been good.
The tour has been fantastic, and it's really ramping up steam as we go. I'm delighted to say that several of the next shows are sold out already, and I just heard that Minneapolis is getting close to selling out, which is amazing, because I've never played this venue before in Minneapolis. Same with Sellersville, which is outside of Philadelphia. St. Louis is sold out. Columbus is almost sold out. I'm playing Ann Arbor again, and I'm playing Chicago again.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's still some chances to see me live, and also some of these are live streaming. This is like a spacecraft is landing. I can't see anything, but it just started all of a sudden.
Alicia, don't start with that. Do you guys get drones in Nashville? Because we're getting drones in Jersey and New York.
Yeah, maybe that is a drone. I don't know. It's loud. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, and that's awesome. And listen, I'm looking forward to, you got to come back to New York, because you've already played your New York show. I know you're doing Philadelphia, but are you going to make your way back? Are you going to double up with the tour at all?
No, but I play New York frequently. So I would like to invite everybody to join my mailing list at AliciaWittMusic.com, because I just played 54 Below and that was a full house. So I will definitely be returning to 54 Below. But as an independent music artist, the most important thing that I can ask people to do is be part of that mailing list, because we have so little control over the old algorithms on the social media. And so often I'll play a city and then I get 5 people saying, I didn't know you were coming through Boston. And I'm like, I've been posting about it for months. But that mailing list is super important, because I text or email when I'm coming to your zip code. And I've also got signed vinyl that are available on my website, as well as CDs. And those are out on Amazon too.
Well, that's awesome, Alicia. I just wanted to thank you so much for your time. Again, I Think I'm Spending Christmas With You. Go check it out. Go buy the album. Go download it. Go check out the tour. If you have any, there's some dates available, like you said. And again, thank you for spending time. I'm looking forward to you coming back to New York. And again, thank you for Long Legs.
Thank you. What a lovely interview. It's been a joy spending time with you today.